Okay, we were discussing the exile of the 10 tribes. And we had a quote over here. Just a second. We had a quote over here that Yosef was separate in the exile from the rest. And the rest of the 10 tribes didn't know where Yosef was exiled to. It could be that just like when Yosef was exiled from his brother, no one knew where he would be. This was a sign that the northern 10 tribes, who are called Yosef, they're called Ephraim, would also be exiled, and no one would know where they would be. Meaning that's, now Yosef wasn't so far away, it's just that no one knew where he was. And that could also be that the northern 10 tribes are not as far as we think, just where we're not finding them. So that's where we left off that time. Yes?
Two quick questions. One, why 10 tribes? It's pretty nice.
Why?
Shimon was not exiled. Shimon was in Yehudah.
Okay. So let's see. Reuven. Levi, to some degree.
No.
Yehudah. No.
Levi, yes, you could argue they were Levim.
For sure they were.
Kingdom, but I believe once they split off, I think it says in Malachim or somewhere that a bunch of Levites actually migrated south.
They did, right.
So there are hardly any Levites
in the north. So Rav Nachum Rom once pointed out that in Tanakh, we see that the Levites outnumber the Kohanim, which is logical. You have a whole tribe, you have one family. And then today, you come to the average shul, you have Kohanim at least as much as Levim, and usually more. How did that happen? So he said that the Levim were scattered throughout the northern 10 tribes. And that's why most of the Levites disappeared with the northern 10 tribes. And so the numbers became very close. The Levites and the Kohanim, until the Kohanim really outnumbered the Levites.
Fine, I'm willing to accept it, but the tribe of Levi is not missing, because part of it is still with us.
Agreed, part of every tribe is still with us.
No, I mean, fine, but they're not fully missing.
Okay, so we're assuming we have 10 tribes, and you have Yehudah and Shimon, who are still with us.
Benjamin.
It seems also Benjamin.
Levi.
Levi, I wouldn't say. So you're left with 9, right? And the tribe of Yosef counts as 2, Ephraim and Manasseh. okay.
And second question, in terms of
yes,
not knowing where Yosef is, I guess either in Ezra or in the pen of the Devarim, either in the text or one of the Rishonim brings it down, says that at the time of the Persian exile, the tribe of Yehudah was actually in contact with the part of Ephraim that was exiled to that land. And in fact, when Ezra went up, part of Ephraim went up with him.
We said that the 10 tribes, part of them came back, and it's not clear how many of them came back. That we discussed in previous weeks. That it's clear from the Talmud that we have from the 10 tribes among us. It's not that they're all in exile. There are definitely representation here. There's a discussion whether we have a large number of them among us or a small number of them among us, but there are definitely people from Reuven and Gad and all the northern 10 tribes. Yes. The Gemara in Tractate Yevamis tells us that the northern 10 tribes were exiled and they did not have a second generation. So the Gemara in Yevamis sounds like that the northern 10 tribes that did not come back were one generation phenomenon. The Gemara says, "Itztaruye itztaru." What does that mean? So they had a tradition. The Meiri explains that the girls who were exiled were scared that the Babylonians, the Assyrians, would take them and violate them. So they defiled themselves in a way that no man would want to come close to them. One interpretation is that they didn't do any physical mutilation, but rather the Talmud tells us they knew of different drinks, potents that they could drink that would make them infertile, and that all the girls drank it. They said, "We will not have the children of the Assyrians." Others say that they were forced on such long marches that the girls' wombs cracked on the way, that they couldn't have, that the girls of the northern 10 tribes of that generation were taken such distances that after that they couldn't carry a baby anymore. Either way, there is this opinion in the Talmud in Yevamos that says that that generation of the northern 10 tribes that was exiled did not have a second generation of Jewish children, that they're finished. We brought that it's already a machloket tanaim about whether they're ever coming back. So we have these differing opinions of whether there are 10 tribes out there that are going to return or not. We had the opinion that they're on the other side of Sambatyon. We had the opinion that they were scattered. We had the opinion that either they were annihilated, intermarried, or what we just learned now.
How would that be better than like having kids that are half Jewish, or having like somewhat assimilated generations down the line, rather than just no generation at all?
I don't want to argue the point, because the Talmud doesn't say that the rabbis agreed with them. Meaning, I could argue that to have a Jewish child who is raised by a non-Jew who would not keep Torah is maybe bad for the kid too. But why would I argue that? I don't know if Chazal agreed with these girls or disagreed with them. The Talmud doesn't say they did right. The Talmud says they did it. We have stories in Talmud of whole cities that committed suicide and the rabbis did not agree with them. So I'm not sure when the Talmud tells us this about the girls of the northern 10 tribes, I'm not sure the Talmud is telling us they were right about it. So we had the Mishnah in Sanhedrin that compares the exile, the verse compares the exile of the northern 10 tribes with the day. Rabbi Akiva said, just as once a day is gone, it never comes back. You can never go back to yesterday. So too, once the 10 tribes are gone, they're never coming back. Rabbi Eliezer said, just like the day, sunset, sunrise, yesterday's gone, today comes in. So too, the 10 tribes are lost, but they're still coming back. It's interesting to note that Rabbi Akiva is arguing on his Rebbe. Rabbi Eliezer is Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe. The Gemara says that the northern 10 tribes have no portion in the world to come. That's what the Gemara says. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. And Rabbi Shimon, who is Rabbi Akiva's disciple, he says that no, there is potential for them to come to the world to come. And Rebbe says they are coming back. That's what we read in Rosh Hashanah. Uvau ha'avdim be'eretz Ashur. The people who were lost by the Assyrians, they're going to return. So that what?
The passage from Yom Yom, no?
Which one? Uvau ha'avdim?
Yeah.
It's Yeshaya. But what do you want to say?
How can you argue? How can Rabbi Akiva argue on Yeshaya?
So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva left his piety. Although Rabbi Akiva is usually pious, here you have a verse in Yirmiyahu, that's what I thought you were referring to, where the verse says, I am a chassid, Hashem says, I'm not giving up on you. I will not always hold it against you. I'm letting you come back, the northern 10 tribes. Obviously, Rabbi Akiva had psukim that he felt were more powerful, where you have this pasuk, that pasuk. This pasuk tells you how to, which one tells you how to define the other one? Rabbi Akiva held that this pasuk tells you how to define it.
Which pasuk is the Mishnah?
Vayichem Hashem me'al admatam.
I mean, that's a big pasuk from Yeshaya. It's pretty clear cut.
I don't know that how Avdim be'eretz Ashur have to be the northern 10 tribes. Lechora, they were not in Eretz Ashur, the northern 10 tribes.
door Ezra by Ashur, and when Yeshaya was alive, the southern kingdom had not been
So we saw in our Yeshaya class on Fridays that Yeshaya spoke about the destruction that would be. Yeshaya spoke about the return through Koresh. The fact that it didn't happen in his days is no proof. A lot of what Yeshaya speaks about isn't his days. Most of what he speaks about is not in his days.
Okay, but if he's referring to the Southern Kingdom, sure.
No, so the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that even the Babylonian Empire brought many Jews to Assyria. No, it's not obvious that way. And on the contrary, the Syrian exile doesn't sound like it brought them to Ashur. It says he took them to Bachlach v'Chavon, Ar Gozan v'Arimadai. Unless you'll tell me those are cities in Ashur, that's not the interpretations we saw until now. So we have a medrash in Shir Hashirim that says, Apal Senu Anana, when is our bed beautiful? That's when the 10 tribes come back from the other side of Sambatyon, that they will be with us when Mashiach comes. So it seems, and that's how the Maral also interprets, that the Gemara's conclusion is that the 10 tribes are out there. The Gemara rules against Rabbi Akiva. We have differing opinions, but the Gemara's conclusion seems to be like they're still coming back. But the Medrash tells us that how many were left? That 1/8 were left. 1 out of every 8 Jews. And that's why you often say that that was probably the biggest Holocaust in Jewish history. Yes?
Is there a deeper understanding of the Rabbi Akiva saying? Because in many cases, you get a statement like that and how it appears on the surface necessarily.
Right.